Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the bar room with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
What's up and welcome back to Bar Down Blackhawk Talk, episode number 13, presented by the Barroom Network. My name is Vinny Parisi, and this right here is Joey Parisi. And Joseph, lucky number 13, eh?
Mm-hmm. Who's your, you got a favorite number 13 on your mind?
You know.
Oh, I know.
My favorite teams, my favorite player on my favorite team is Nico Hischier. He's their captain now of the New Jersey Devils. He wears number 13. It's a number that, you know, it's a pretty sweet number. Today's actually the anniversary of the day that Nico Hischier was drafted, and we were in attendance. What do you remember from that day?
I remember one of my favorite defensemen being drafted, Cale Makar. Nico and Nolan, we had no idea who they were going to take going into it until – some guy spoiled it because we had like an insider sitting next to us or something. Remember that? It just got kind of getting annoying. Imagine being at the draft and this dude's just saying what everyone's going to pick 5 minutes before it happens.
He had like a iPad that like...
Yeah, I don't know. He had like a secret... Yeah, he had like a secret insider's fucking thing. I don't know. It was really annoying. Screw that guy. The Bruins took Urho Vakanainen.
Yeah.
We sat next to Robert Thomas, his grandfather.
Yeah. Whole fan?
His whole family. It was pretty cool, and it's cool seeing him, you know,
be in the shake a guy's hand after his grandson was just drafted. Like, congrats, man. Like, that was genuine moments we've ever
gotten. Yeah. And Grandpa Thomas is like, he should be a proud grandpa now because his son is an impact player for the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, and he became a Stanley Cup champion in his rookie season.
Exactly. And, that's true. Torrey Krug laid him out, and he won the cup. Remember that? And when Torrey Krug laid that hit on Robert Thomas, I remember Robert Thomas tweeted the picture of Krug laying him out when Krug signed. And he's like, did we just become best friends?
You know, that we went into that draft thinking it was kind of like a crapshoot. It's a pretty good draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, four of the top five are like impact players on their teams now. And Nolan Patrick has the potential to. It doesn't seem like he likes playing for the Flyers anymore. But...
Yamamoto go to the Oilers.
Mm-hmm. He was a good player for them this year.
We also sat next to the personal trainer of the Kings guy, Vilardi.
Yep, Gabe Vilardi.
And he plays now.
We're not even mentioning someone that's kind of got it going on right now.
Who's that?
That would be one Nick Suzuki. Went sixth.
Nick Suzuki.
Sixth overall to the Vegas Golden Knights. And then the Golden Knights turned around and traded him to the Montreal Canadiens for Max Pacioretty. And they both scored goals against one another yesterday.
Yeah.
So we'll get more into that series, you know, as the show goes on. But it is interesting. So many of these guys we got to see be drafted. And now they're, you know, 4 years later, they're impact players in the league. But you got a 13 you like?
Charlie Coyle. I don't have the jersey hanging up right here, but yeah, Charlie Coyle, he's my current number 13. I think he's like the first Bruin to be number 13 in my time watching.
And that's crazy I'm sure they've had other 13s, but like it's kind of a surprising number to not have be considered a retired or great number for them because they're
It's not retired. The last Bruin to be number 13 was Glenn Metropolit. In 2008, never even heard of that guy.
That guy's made up. Doesn't exist.
Does not exist. So yeah.
Baseball 13.
Baseball 13.
I don't know if I have one off the top of my head.
It's hard with baseball.
A-Rod wore 13 with the Yankees because he couldn't wear 3 because of George Herman Babe Ruth. But in hockey, 13 used to be a number that no New Jersey Devil player could wear because Lou Lamoriello wouldn't allow anyone on the Devils to be number 13. So then when he was gone, then a couple different cats started wearing 13. But I have a feeling he sure will be wearing it for a long time.
Ozzie Guillen. Our fellow White Sox.
That's right.
It's kind of a tweak on us.
That is a tweak on us because you used to be able to get the Ozzy plan and came with 13 tickets.
Yeah, so anyone who's watching. You know
what, though? I will give us an excuse. That's a reason why we didn't put a name to a baseball player because we both went – I guarantee right when you said it, you started thinking of the current roster, right? Like there's nobody who's probably going to ever be 13 ever again. I don't think it's retired, but I mean – yeah, that's an excuse, honestly, that the fact that it was Ozzy, because there would be a player probably wearing it. But, you know, that's a great 13 conversation.
Yeah.
We could talk for 20 minutes about you could pick any topic in the world and you bring up number 13 and there we go. So it's time to start talking. You want to talk a little hockey?
Yeah, let's do it.
That's what we do on this show. So for that, let's send it over to period number one. I love that riff.
Yeah, I know.
It makes me want to like, like I want to go to Lamb
of God. It reminds me, you're going to call me a huge nerd moment here. It reminds me when you used to rank up in Modern Warfare 2.
Yes. And like death metal song.
Yeah, plays. Like just every time you ranked up, it would play like a guitar riff or something.
And it was like a double bass. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was really cool.
I feel like I just ranked up. Every time we go from period to period, we just ranked up.
Absolutely. So we're going to start with a little bit of news that kind of sucks. One of the top broadcasters in the history of the sport and the city of Chicago is kind of being forced out by the Chicago Blackhawks. I've heard that from multiple sources, so I believe it. And 66-year-old Pat Foley's contract expires at the end of this season, his 39th with the team, and it's going to be the last one. He's about to go on a little bit of a farewell tour this upcoming season. It'll be his last one. I'm sure they'll celebrate him a whole lot. It sucks. I mean, he's been a great announcer for the Hawks for a long time. It's only his 39th season, but he's been with the team longer because he had some stints where he was forced out earlier in his life. So maybe I'll take his.
I mean, we'll never know the truth on if he is forced out or not, or the whole truth behind that. He has been, you know, as long as I can remember, I've seen old footage of the Blackhawks and there's like a younger Pat Foley doing it. So he's been with them for a long time. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just actually, you know, hanging it up and retiring. It's easy to say and speculate about the whole him being forced out thing, but I mean, he's been doing it for a long time and it definitely is the end of an era. I'm kind of indifferent about Pat Foley. We see Santiago's comment in the chat. He's happy to hear that Pat Foley is retiring. And I can totally see that side of it. Like, he's an acquired taste, especially if you're not like a like he's the definition of a homer announcer, which you're supposed to be. And I respect that. So, but for me, like I'm kind of just indifferent. He's not my favorite announcer for the home team to listen to, but he's not my least favorite by any means. Like I love Pat Foley. We had the pleasure of, didn't we meet him?
Yep, we did.
Yeah, we met him and Eddie. They were incredibly nice guys. So, you know, away from the whatever you see on TV, away from that, I can attest that they're nice guys to the public, at least. They signed a couple pucks for us. I remember we had a conversation with them, and that was really cool. So we'll see. It'll be different. It's definitely an end of an era for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. So for me, Foley is like one of the last ones of what you would call the old guard. And by the old guard, I mean like that old fan who like only did his team locally. And you could just tell he was like a pure fan. So whoever replaces him is just going to be some puppet like guy who like just calls the game. They're going to be great at it. I'm sure like Blackhawks, you're hiring. I could do it. But you get what I'm saying? Like it's different now. You'll get a guy like Steve Cangelosi of the Devils or, you know, even someone as good as John Forslund, who's about to be the Seattle Kraken guy. He'll yell when the other team scores too. And that's just kind of becoming like the new way where like Pat Foley will – he'll go, they score when the other team scores, but then he'll scream at the top of his lungs when his team scores, kind of like this clip right here.
Backus to the other end. Tuchman, Crawford, bottled up, rebound. It's cleared to center for Taves. He got a breakaway. Taves to win
I must say, it's going to be weird hearing a Blackhawks goal without Pat Foley. It's going to be weird.
Especially if they ever stop sucking again and they get in playoffs and score huge goals like Jonathan Toews did in that video. I mean, the local guys only do the first round, but, you know, Doc's gone. So it'll probably be Kenny Albert and John Forslund handling like the bulk of the playoffs going forward. I know the Islanders guy, I forget his name. He's been like heavily involved in the playoffs so far. So,
but we're on a completely different network next year.
I don't think locally.
No, not locally, but I don't think those guys will be anything to do with the Blackhawks.
A couple of them are starting to sign over slowly but surely. Yeah. TNT and, or I guess you would call it Turner Network, and ESPN have slowly but surely started to like bring guys in. Like, I know Eddie Olczyk, TNT. I'm pretty sure it's TNT. I guarantee you'll see Darren Pang go back to ESPN. That's where he was with Bucci. We'll see if Bucci ever ends up getting a gig as an announcer. I'd love to have him on this show. Probably a top five guest I'd want.
Wayne Gretzky signed with TNT.
Mm-hmm. Wayne Gretzky, I think, is going to be more of an analyst, though. I could be wrong on that, but I picture Wayne being like an intermission guy, like how they have with Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal for basketball on TNT.
Maybe, but Brian Boucher and Ray Ferraro both signed over.
Yeah.
I'm talking like Chicago, like Comcast Sportsnet, whatever they call it, NBC Sports Chicago. That, like, they're still going to need a guy for that. And I assume Eddie will still be doing it.
Yeah, I think so too. He'll do the Hawks and then TNT, like he does now with NBC.
So, I mean, after next year, like, we have the 1 year left of Pat. It'll be interesting who that next guy is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a demo of myself doing it.
Yeah, let me hear your best. We don't have, like, if we had, like, a muted footage, we should do that.
Maybe I'll work with our director, Aldo, and maybe we could come up with something like that so I could show the people that I can call a hockey game. I truly believe I could call a hockey game.
Yeah.
You have to know the key to it for me. Is you have to know the numbers to a name.
Oh, yeah. Because
if you don't have a number to a name, it's impossible. Every now and then you'll come across a guy who you could tell who it is just by watching them skate. Like, I know McDavid. If a guy is so fast that he keeps it on his stick without stick handling through the neutral zone and, like, skates through guys, it's McDavid. And Patrick Kane has, like, the shoulder shimmy and all that. But for the most part, you need a name and a number. And those guys have it right in front of them on a piece of paper anyway.
Yeah, and as you watch a team over and over, like, you can – I agree with that completely. Like, I can watch a Bruins game, and they can be wearing no numbers on the jersey, no nameplates, and I'd be able to identify who that is skating with the puck. I'm a firm believer of that.
So, and the only problem is you don't know that for your opponent.
But that's where you have your notes. They do research and study before each game.
Absolutely, and you have your little facts about, you know, like Doc Emmerich always had, like, whose birthdays it was and stuff like that, so – you know, it was a good career for Foley. He's definitely going to be considered amongst Blackhawks legendary broadcasters, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame for broadcasting.
Where would you rank him? You got, I mean, Harry Carey's probably one. He spent 24 years with the Cubs and 23 with the White Sox. Hawk Harrelson, a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, we love him.
Yeah.
We're D-bag White Sox
fans. There's a lot of biasness that goes into, like, these.
Yeah,
like,
I think Harry Carey, as big of a Cubs fan as I am, it's definitely, like, hard to say. So, do you want to try?
Yeah, I would rather be the color guy. That's the thing. Like, I think that works out perfect. You'd rather be the play-by-play, and I'm the color guy.
All right, yeah, we could give this a shot.
All right, let's hear it.
Is this? I'm assuming this is from this year, though.
I don't know. Who cares?
We'll try it for a second. McLeod wins the faceoff over Bergeron and sends the Devils into the zone, where then the Bruins' McAvoy will send it in for Bergeron, who has it tipped in by Marchand. Oh, see, it's tough, though, because...
Yeah, we need a goal. We need a goal.
I don't know. It's hard for me because it flipped over to a new... All right, so Blackwood plays it behind the net.
Yeah.
It's going to be Will Butcher, who leaves it across for Damon Severson. Passes it up the ice. He got Miles Wood shooting. He's off the post. See, it's hard. You know, you definitely would need some practice.
Right. Well, there'll be a goal here.
Yeah. Well, Sharangovich takes it in alone shooting. What a save made by Rask. Sharangovich back with the puck again before it stops. Yeah, see, when it flips
another,
over.
Another power play. They're scoring right here.
Yeah, there's, you think, no, they're not scoring here. There's 1 second. Okay, they did score. So,
and then I'd come in as the color guy. You defensive zone face off. You know, you got to win that. Bergeron's got to do whatever he can to get that puck not won cleanly back to the point.
Yeah, I personally liked the way the Bruins handled that play.
Yeah, I don't remember that game.
Yeah, it was one of the few that the Devils actually won and looked like a competent hockey team.
Yeah, I mean, that could be fun. I would definitely like. Well, yeah, we should put something together like that.
Every time I got going, it would like flip to a different part of the game, and that put my brain in a pretzel. So Pat Foley, we'll see what happens this year. I'm sure there'll be some highlights, and we'll have plenty to talk about with that in terms of this show.
Santiago says, "Don't quit fan side."
Every time someone thinks I can't do something, it motivates me more and more. Santiago. Anyway, I'm not quitting fan side anytime soon. Jack Eichel. He's in the news. He's been in the news since the end of the season. Why? Well, have a listen.
You know, for sure, I would say I've been a bit upset about the way that things have been handled since I've been hurt. I wouldn't I'd be lying to say that things have moved smoothly since my injury. So yeah, I think that there's been a bit of a disconnect, I think, from the organization a bit and myself, and you know, it's been tough at times, but you know, right now for me, I think the most important thing is just trying to get healthy and figure out a way to be available to play hockey next year, you know, wherever that might be.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound great.
Yeah, I don't think people understand, and because we talked about this last time when we were comparing like Eichel to Kirby Doc and stuff. I don't think people understand how good of a hockey player this kid is. He's just under points per game in his career. I just looked it up. But when he's healthy, he is a dominant top six or seven player in the entire National Hockey League. And the fact that the Blackhawks are in trade rumors to get this guy that's organization potential changing right there if you can land a skill like Jack Eichel.
Now, you brought up how he's like just barely under points per game in his career. How much of that is because of his rookie season where he was probably well under a point per game in his career? And, you know, that happens to guys. They have a little bit of catching up to do once they reach their prime.
Oh, 100%. And like you can say what you want about the top players in the league. Most of the I would say 90% of the elite top players in the league play with some good talent around them.
Yeah.
Jack Eichel's, you know, the guys, they're starting to put it together. Sam Reinhart's finally having a good year. Victor Olofsson has been sick and this was a sophomore year, I believe. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they looked at a guy like Jeff Skinner to get it done for them, and he wasn't there. Taylor Hall was nothing. Yeah. So, like, he's kind of getting screwed with the team and organization he's been on, and clearly he's had enough. He wants out. I don't blame him. I cannot wait to see where he lands. And if it's in Chicago, like, we got a treat for the next decade.
And it seems like there is disconnect between him and the organization on his injury. The team seems to want him to rest and rehab to fix it, and he seems to want to get some surgery to speed up the process. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't think a trade comes with a little bit of risk, but the reward is astronomical. Jack Eichel, for those who don't know, is amazing. He is a franchise number one center. He would be the new best player on you could argue him and Kane. I think Eichel's a little more well-rounded than Patrick Kane, and he plays center. At this point in their career, Patrick Kane is a Hall of Fame superstar, you know, number retired statue. Jack Eichel's not that yet. We'll see. And I'm watching this highlight here. He'd have to change his number again, too. Certainly not going to be number 9 in Chicago anytime soon.
Maybe he'll go back to 15. Oh, wait, you can't do that either.
Yeah, wasn't Stan Mikita number 15?
I believe so, yeah.
The two best players outside of Kane in Hawks history are Jack Eichel's two numbers. That's kind of interesting, too, on its own. But Jack Eichel, he would push everyone down a spot. So if you assume Doc is getting traded for him, first and foremost. So then you would assume that it goes Eichel, Taves, Strome. That's a very, very, very good top 9 trio of centers.
Yeah, absolutely. We tweaked Sam Mikita. He was 21, I think, actually. I forget what number Stan Mikita was.
Why is 15 related to Stan Mikita then? Or why did it make both of us think of him for some reason? Yeah, Mikita was 21.
I think he was 21 because Anisimov was recently 15.
Yeah, he was. You're right.
And the guy from Ottawa, I think, Zach Smith.
Wasn't Milt Schmidt 15 too?
Yeah, on the Bruins.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, Santiago says Mikita was 21. I knew when I said 15, or it didn't sound
but
right.
But both of us thought it, which I'm trying to figure out why.
I don't know. But now I could picture Artem Anisimov wearing 15 when he played with Panarin.
Yeah.
I think if you do whatever you can to get Jack Eichel, I think so highly of Jack Eichel, he would instantly become my favorite player. My Blackhawks fandom would probably go up, you know, tremendously. I'd get his jersey. I'd do everything I can to go watch him play. I love Jack Eichel. If he came to Chicago and, you know, planned on playing here long term, like his contract, you know, do whatever you can to get that contract because he's worth every penny. He's the future of any organization that he plays for. If he comes to Chicago right now, we all know Jonathan Toews' years are, I would say, they're numbered. He's on the downward slope rather than Eichel, I believe, is on the upward. He's the future captain of this team. If he comes here, I think it is a perfect fit. And then you build around him. You maybe can then get a guy like, you know, Seth Jones and work on your blue line. I just think the offseason, everything, the Hawks have a lot of options here in this offseason, and I think they need to, you know, pursue one of these things.
Let's have a little fun. What would you do with Eichel in the lineup, assuming Kirby Dach goes the other way? Let's say Kirby Dach and a defenseman, so it doesn't matter any other way, and picks. How, like, what wingers would you say fit best with him? Taves?
He's a center, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I would put him, if Taves is confirmed playing next year, build the line for Taves up on top, whether it be with Kane, but I would love to see Kane play with Eichel.
Well, it would happen on the power play. That's for damn sure.
Well, yeah, the power play would be stacked.
I would put Kane with Taves and put Kubalik and DeBrincat with Eichel. That's what I would do personally.
I guess it all kind of depends. Like, it's so hard to predict these lines. It all depends how Jonathan Taves looks, plays, you know. Feels. Yeah, his productivity. I don't hate either option. But, I mean, to see Eichel and Kane light it up 5-on-5.
Yeah. I guess the question would remain, can Jonathan Taves drive a line by himself? Because every top six line in the league needs one guy who can drive the offense. If Taves can do that, then you could put Kane with Eichel and watch them make sweet magic. But, I mean, if it's Kane that needs to drive the offense for Taves, which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Lots of guys who are still great have someone else drive the offense for them. Like, would you say Ovechkin drives offense? He's got 750 goals. He can, but he's at his best when he plants himself and is waiting for Nicholas Backstrom or Evgeny Kuznetsov to make a play. Like, Taves is very good in front of the net when he's healthy and slick hands around it. And if you've got a playmaker like Kaner there, then you got Eichel who could play with some snipers. I don't know. That's probably what I would think along with that.
Yeah, and I definitely think Eichel can drive a line. So who knows? What if you throw like...
Well, Eichel can drive a line.
Exactly. Yeah. What if you throw like Vinny Hinostroza on his line and Vinny just puts up 30 goals and becomes... Yeah. Like, that would be sick. You never know when you put a guy...
DeBrincat and Kubalik are both proven 30-goal scorers.
Exactly. So. And I think so highly of Jack Eichel. I think he can turn an average player into an elite hockey player.
Yeah. I mean, before Buffalo went through their, like, major changes, Jeff Skinner was a 40-goal guy playing with Eichel.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know what could happen. I'm all for it. People act like Jack Eichel's 35.
Yeah, he's...
You talk about trading for him. He's 24. He's, like, 4 years older than Dach.
He's literally not even close to his prime yet. I believe that wholeheartedly.
No doubt. And do you think Dach will ever be as good as Eichel?
No, I don't think Dach will sniff Jack Eichel.
No, I don't either.
I think highly of – everyone's going to think I'm shitting on Kirby Dach now.
No, not at all.
I just know how good Jack Eichel is.
I always compare Dach to who?
Ryan Getzlaf.
Getzlaf might be a Hall of Famer. Jack Eichel in his prime is going to prove to be better than Ryan Getzlaf in his prime. Now, Getzlaf won a cup and had 100-point seasons after 100-point seasons. So it's a little bit different because of the career. Like, hindsight is 2020, but do I think Jack Eichel can be like one of the greatest American born players ever? Yes, I 100% do.
I agree.
So, and that's just so good for the Blackhawks to dominate the American game, because Patrick Kane is probably going to go down as the greatest American ever. Eichel couldn't be in that top 10.
Oh, I agree. You know, Austin Matthews, it's like there's the young wave right now is just unreal. It's and Jack Eichel,
the Hughes family.
Uh-huh. Jack Eichel and Austin Matthews are leading the way there.
No doubt. They, if Team Canada or if Team USA came in, I mean, we're going to have the Olympics. The NHL is going to the next two. I would say Matthews and Eichel are the one and 1B center punch, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. 100%. Especially if they're like healthy.
Yeah. I mean, and I have written down which pick in the first round would you give up if you got to choose if you're the Blackhawks? Because they're locked into the 11th overall pick this year. We don't know how good they're going to be next year, even with Eichel. It would probably take a little bit of time to become like a contender again. I don't think Eichel necessarily makes them a contender right off the bat. And having a chance at that first overall next year, Shane Wright, I mean, it's definitely going to be a topic of conversation during trade season, I think.
Yeah, I mean, so they have the 11th pick right now in the 2021?
Yep.
And they also have Vegas' second round pick.
Yep. From the, I believe it's the Robin Leonard trade.
I would be okay with giving up this year's 11. Honestly, like the
draft, giving up next year's is risky.
It is, because you don't know everything. Like, you kind of have a general idea of the draft, you know, pool this year, and it just seems like it's not as skilled as it is in previous years. Yeah, that could do with scouting and stuff, but I would be okay with
the number one pick in every draft since McDavid.
What's up?
I believe Shane Wright would be the number one pick in every draft since I said McDavid, maybe Matthews.
Oh, and that's the projected 2022 first overall?
Yeah. I mean, you watch his clips. Dude, if the Hawks can figure out a way to just suck next year and then trade for Eichel then and win the lottery.
I would not be surprised one bit if their pick next year is worse than 11.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So I would say if you have the opportunity
to trade someone like Eichel.
Mm-hmm. I that's why I'm saying, like, if you have the opportunity to trade that 11th pick, trade it, because you probably could even get someone better next year with a lower pick than you can with an 11 pick. You know, people are going to like value the fact that it's 11 opposed to next year. It could be, you know, 18, 19, or yeah, even in the 20s if they make the playoffs.
I think if they don't trade for Eichel, or even if they did trade for Eichel, they'd still be a bottom team in the Central. I do. And you could be in the Shane Wright conversation again next year. And picks 2 and 3 are considered like bona fide NHL players too. I don't know, have their names offhand. I know Shane Wright is like creeping into McDavid territory in terms of prospect. Like, they think that highly of him.
Yeah.
And they say one comes along like that every 10 or so years. We're just under 10 for 22. I believe it would be 8 since McDavid. But, you know, those guys come along. Crosby was 05. McDavid was 15. They were exactly 10 years apart. So,
Santiago asked, which of the young guys do you think will make the leap next season? The answer for me, based off the way we saw him play when he came back, is Kirby Dach. If Kirby Dach doesn't get traded and everything we just talked about, you know, Jack Eichel ends up staying in Buffalo, is probably what's going to happen.
He's going to get traded to either the Hawks, Kings, or Wild. I don't see him playing for...
All right, well, let's say, like, none of that happens with the Blackhawks, and they continue on the path they're on right now, and they don't get Eichel. They stick with Kirby Dach. He's the guy who makes the leap next year. And if he does it with a different team, it's not a big deal. But the way he looked at the end of this season, like, I remember in that game you had him as your pick to click. He was probably the best offensive player on the ice. He definitely can drive an offense by himself. And he is a future superstar in the league. I just think Jack Eichel's a little better. But if they stick with Kirby Dach, look for him to have an amazing year next year, I feel.
Yeah, and I really like Ian Mitchell. I think Ian Mitchell's a top-quality defenseman. He's not ever going to be like a superstar, but I think of a guy who's just like always going to be good positionally, always going to make a good first pass. He's never going to have like 50 to 70 points, but a good leader. I could see him being the captain someday. I know that's something me and Joey have argued about at length. It all depends on – because then if you – we have – for those who don't know, me and Joey actually have a bet it's like a long-term 10-year bet on who is the next captain after Taves. And the stipulations are Patrick Kane and Duncan Keith are excluded on who the next captain is. And my pick is Ian Mitchell. I do believe he has a chance, and Joey has the field. Now, if Jack Eichel comes into the fold and they named him the captain eventually, I'll pay my $50 because you'd probably make me at that point. But I wouldn't feel dumb because, like, of course it would be Eichel in that situation.
Yeah. First of all, I believe it's $100. Second of all, I don't know. I think Ian Mitchell will, you know, take a step forward in terms of being, you know, a really good, you know, defenseman. But I just, the fact that you can claim his captaincy so early in his career, I don't even know. You don't even know if that's the plan.
I mean, they could trade him too.
Yeah. Another young guy I'll give an honorable mention to is Kevin Lankin. And I do think the Hawks are going to do something with their backup situation. And that will provide more stability and confidence for Kevin Lankin. And so I do think he has a bounce back year next year.
Yeah. And he'll probably have probably a 1A or 1B role.
That's what I'm saying. And give him, like, if it's a 1A role and he actually has a solid 1B behind him that's not Malcolm Subban, I would love to see the Bruins or the Hawks get a guy like Yaroslav Halak. His time in Boston is done, and he served Tuukka Rask so well as his 1B. It made Tuukka better. And now, you know, the goalie situation over there is a little different going into next year. We'll talk about that in the offseason, but that's what the Blackhawks need to do. They need to get a 1B for Kevin Lankin. And if they want to develop him into a more of a starter, give him the rest. And I want to see that because I like Kevin Lankin in a lot.
Yeah, I agree. So we'll see what happens. Eichel now officially, the Blackhawks are officially in the Eichel sweepstakes, according to Larry Brooks of the New York Post. You can read all about it from me on dowindycity.com. And, you know, I wrote all about it and our thoughts, basically a lot of what we just talked about, but I appreciate those who check it out. Before we get into period number two, let's send it over to a commercial break.
Baseball at the Barroom. On Monday nights, get ready for the Friendly Confines Extra Innings. It's 30 minutes, it's clever, it's concise, and it's all Cubs coverage. That's followed by a killer White Sox show, South Burbs Hitmen. Then on Thursday afternoon, it's Cubs and Sox opinions and analysis with Crosstown Crosstalk. Baseball at the Barroom. Join us live and or on demand.
White Sox fans to this day wanted A.J. Hinch. Tony La Russa haters that would rather have a guy to fix the playoffs and World Series and season than Tony La Russa. And I have a huge problem with that. I do. Don't go preaching about, okay, he drank and this and that, and he shouldn't have done this, he shouldn't have done that. You guys wanted A.J. Hinch, and you're going to talk to me about Tony La Russa.
And we would like to send it over to period number two. And in period number two, we're going to talk about the National Hockey League as a whole. Teams that aren't in the playoffs, just some news. We'll start off with the Seattle Kraken. JT Brown, former player for the Tampa Bay Lightning, Minnesota Wild. There's one other team he played for that I'm blanking on. He announced his retirement from the NHL, and he's going to be Seattle's color guy. He will be sitting next to John Forslund, who will be their full-time announcer. What do you think of this move?
I'm excited. Like there's really no, he played for Anaheim. There's really no thoughts other than I'm excited to see how he does. He's a cool guy. I saw the video where him and Forslund announced it, and like I just think he's going to do a great job, and he's with one of the great announcers of our current time, you know, calling hockey. in John Forslund. So I'm excited. The Kraken just keep doing, you know, interesting things and making it more and more exciting to see their National Hockey League debut.
Absolutely. Like you said, the Kraken just, they're off to a good start in terms of marketing themselves and doing what they got to do to make fans happy. So I think John Forslund and JT Brown will bring a positive energy to the hockey community. I believe there will be a lot of push for, you know, the hockey is for everyone type stuff with JT Brown being involved. We want everyone to like the game. And, you know, I think it's a good play for the NHL and the Seattle Kraken as a whole.
Yeah. And I'm looking at his stats here, and he actually has been kind of a bad hockey player over his career. Like he just, and usually those are the guys who are the most entertaining to hear talk about the game because like they
did a job for a reason.
Exactly. So he's a fun guy. So I'm excited. I'm just looking at his stats, and I can't help but notice like how mediocre of an actual hockey player. Like he's a bad fourth line guy.
That's funny. Was he? What's his career high in goals?
8.
Nice.
In 78 games played in 2016.
Wow, would have never thought that. So, you want to talk about guys who were actually really productive this season?
Yeah,
because we have some awards that have come out. We actually thought that there was going to be an NHL award show like there normally is, and they would fit it in with the expansion draft, Seattle Kraken expansion draft, but that's just clearly not the case this year. They're not gathering in Vegas. I don't know if it's because of COVID-19 and because of the fact that it would be really late in the summer that they do it. So they've been announcing them day by day. And then there are still some to be announced during the Stanley Cup final that we'll get to in a minute here, but we'll start off with the King Clancy Award, Pekka Rinne. I know he's a favorite of yours, so it'll be interesting to hear what you have to say about him winning the King Clancy Memorial Trophy.
Yeah, I kind of talked about it in the goalie talk last week. He's done so much for this community of Nashville. He's been with the same team for 15 years now, and he definitely deserved it. He's been, you know, the backhorse of that organization for a long time now. I wonder if he's one of the longest tenured players over there. My guess is yeah. And, you know, credit to him for all the work he puts in off the ice and with the organization to help his community. And I think he deserved it. I think this is one that they got right. And congrats to Pekka Rinne, one of my favorite goalies of my entire time watching hockey. I've always loved Pekka Rinne, so congrats to him.
Yeah, he's one of the great goalies of the generation. So it's good to see him take home another trophy. He's been really good. We got Ace Daniels. He's high. So I hear that the replay of Dan and Aldo Bare Their Souls would be really good for someone who's high right now. Like, go check out that show from last night. You know, big proponents for the weed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he didn't say what he's high on, you know. Ace Daniels is having himself a Wednesday afternoon. I love it.
He could be high on many things. Can I get a Stephen A. impression?
Smoke weed every day.
Okay, that was right on cue. Our guy Aldo's on point today. Good thing we took the under.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still waiting for the Stephen A. You're not skating around it.
Yeah, Ace Daniels.
I just said Tuukka Rask isn't that good of a goalie.
Vin, you gotta stay off the weed.
No, you gotta put the duh at the end.
Weed.
And they don't listen. Stupid. What are we, Snoop Dogg in the green room?
Yeah.
Hilarious.
What trophy you got next?
Concludes our weed segment of Bar Down Black Hawk Talk. Speaking of weed, the Jack Adams Award for the best coach in the league. Rod Brind'Amour definitely toked up a little stuff before taking that picture. He is now your winner of the Jack Adams Award as the best coach in the NHL. What do you think?
Yeah, I think this is one they got wrong. First of all, he also just got re-signed, so congrats to him, right? They just extended him for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, obviously it's the relationship is great there. He's a phenomenal coach. He brought the Hurricanes, you know, he turned that team into a legit elite team year in, year out. But I think they got it wrong. I would have given this one to Joel Quenneville of the Florida Panthers. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. But I mean, there's no doubt that he is an incredible head coach, and he's jacked, by the way. Like, this dude Like, he hits the gym with the probably harder than the players, I would guess.
You guys should kiss.
Who, me and Rod?
Yeah. And so, to your statement, I think you need to stay off the damn weed.
Why?
I would have voted for Joel.
Yeah, Joel Quenneville.
A little biased. I don't know. I love Joel. But the Florida Panthers were just magnificent this year. He got those players to, mm-hmm. you know, buy into his system. It took a little while because last year they weren't that good, and they were good at the start, and then they fell apart. Then in the bubble they choked. They can't beat the Islanders in the playoffs, which is kind of annoying. But, you know, this year they just couldn't get it done against the Lightning. And we'll see what happens going forward with Joel and Rod. I think they'll both be in contention for this award for the next couple years or so because their teams are really good. They both have top-line centers, which helps a coach more than you know. They both have number one D, which helps a coach more than you know. So, and good goaltending when Sergei Bobrovsky isn't playing. But
The Carolina Hurricanes had one more point than the Florida Panthers, but the Florida Panthers had one more win. The Hurricanes had three extra losses in overtime. And I honestly believe that if the Panthers would have won that division, that it would be Joel Quenneville. Like, I think it was that close. They're both phenomenal head coaches. So it's kind of like, you know, pick your poison.
Yeah. I'm going to find out what the actual difference was.
It had to be close.
Yeah. I mean, Joel Quenneville, he's been one of the best coaches in the history of the sport. I believe he's second all time in wins. But I mean, Rod Brindamore, those Canes players, they buy into his system.
Oh yeah.
So I do have the coach of the year. Rod Brindamore won in a landslide.
Did he?
Joel didn't even come in second, he came in third. And Dean Evason of the Minnesota Wild came in second. And that's well deserved too, because the Minnesota Wild were expected to be trash. I actually kind of forgot about him. You can make an argument that he could have won, because out of those 3 weeks, probably going into the season, would have expected the Wild to be the worst.
Oh, definitely.
One thing that I do find funny is recently fired David Quinn got one second place vote, and he tied with your guy, Bruce Cassidy.
David Quinn got fired for, you know, the Rangers kind of just, I don't know what they were doing. They were on the weed toward the end of the season after the whole Tom Wilson thing and everything. They just, you know, it seemed like they were just fire happy. I think David Quinn is a phenomenal coach. I don't think he's done coaching in the NHL.
Rangers fans hate his guts.
That's crazy.
He didn't do a very good job of giving the younger guys time on ice.
If the Bruins already didn't have a phenomenal assistant coaching staff, I would be lobbying hard for them to pick up David Quinn on their staff.
Yeah, well, the Bruins have a David Quinn roster.
I think Quinn will be a head coach next. I think he's going to, you know, it seems like a lot of times these young coaches come, and we saw it with Mike Sullivan, we saw it with Bruce Cassidy. They'll come in, they'll be a head coach. It might not work out, and then they'll go assistant coach for a little bit. And then, you know, maybe 10 years from now or 5 years from now, they're going to try it again, and they're going to be very successful.
Yeah.
I see that with Mark Recchi as well. Mark Recchi is currently the assistant coach of the New Jersey Devils. You're making that face. It doesn't seem like you like him very much. He was the
power play was awful. It was so bad, and that was his job.
He was the assistant coach with, I believe, St. Louis when they beat the Bruins. You know, he won the Stanley Cup, I think, three times with Anaheim.
Teams.
Yeah, Anaheim, Boston, and I don't know the other one.
Pittsburgh,
yeah, in early 2009 he was on that team.
Yeah, I want to say 09.
I see him being one of those guys who comes back as a head coach. So I wouldn't give up on David Quinn. I think he'll be back as a head coach someday, but I think he's going to do some time assistant coaching in the future.
He's got to be better with the young guys because there was a lot of Artemi Panarin and a lot of Mika Zibanejad, and, you know, he's playing guys like Blackwell a lot. Not much Alexis Lafreniere or Kaapo Kakko, and Rangers fans didn't appreciate it. He did help Adam Fox, but, I mean, we'll see what happens with that. He is the only coach to receive a first, second, or third place vote that is not currently with their team anymore. One spot below him was Chicago Blackhawks' Jeremy Colliton. Received one third place vote. I believe there was a point in the season where he was the front runner, because when the Hawks were like looking like they could compete for the division title, if that would have happened, he would have been in the conversation, kind of like Dean Evason of the Minnesota Wild. Because a lot of the time, coach of the year, it goes to either a guy whose good team was great or a team where, like, hey, we kind of thought you were going to suck, but you were actually pretty good. So here's coach of the year. They kind of like that in every sport, too. Like, Tony will probably be in the conversation for the White Sox.
Yeah.
The White Sox were expected to be bad, but he was expected to be bad.
Yeah. A lot of times, and I guess it really didn't apply this year because we kind of knew the Hurricanes were going to be good. But a lot of times that type of award goes to the team that kind of overproduced. And, you know, we thought they were going to suck, but maybe the coaching made them really good.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it for Coach of the Year. I got the Masterton next. The Masterton Trophy is one that is hard to talk about sometimes, but Oscar Lindblom, he's probably the most deserving of it with his cancer recovery. And it's good to see that he got to play this year.
Yeah, we kind of agreed when we previewed like the three nominees for this one that we pretty much knew it was going to be him, and it's, you know, deservedly so. He battled cancer, he took time off, he finally rang the bell and made it his return, and he literally had the entire National Hockey League take a pause and recognize, you know, his strength and will to return to hockey. So he fits the description more than any player who's ever won it in our time watching hockey, and it's well-deserved.
Absolutely. So, you know, our prayers are with him and his family. We hope he's able to stay healthy and continue his NHL career.
Yeah.
The Selke. This is where Joey gets mad because his guy, Patrice Bergeron, did not win. It was Alexander Barkov of the Florida Panthers. It is well-deserved. Every guy who was nominated very much deserved it. But, I mean, it's not Bergeron, so Joey's upset. So go off, King.
Yeah, I'm only upset because this was – okay, Bergeron has been nominated for the past 10 straight years. He's won it 4 times, but he's been a top three. He's been on the ballot for 10 straight years. This is the 1 year that he didn't win it out of 6 that I think they got it completely wrong. Other years, Jonathan Toews won it. Okay, I was able to see it. Ryan Kesler won it one of the years. I was able to see it. Anze Kopitar won it one of the years over Bergeron. I was able to see it. This year, I don't see it. I want you to, you know, read the analytics you have on Patrice Bergeron compared to Barkov. I did the eye test. I watched Patrice Bergeron play every single game this year. I watched a number of Florida Panthers games. I know how good Barkov is, but this might have been the most deserved Selke year for Patrice Bergeron, and he didn't win it. I think these voters kind of – okay, he's won it 4 times. He's tied for most to ever win the Selke Trophy in the history of the league. I think voters look at that and be like, okay, Bergeron's won it 4 times. We're not going to vote for him. He's already won it 4 times. That's honestly what I think went on here, because if you look at the numbers, if you watched all their games, you would know that Patrice Bergeron deserved it more than Barkov did.
It wasn't even close.
Exactly.
No. The voting.
Yeah, I honestly believe
Barkov had 780 points and Bergeron had 522. So he beat him by over 200 points.
I think people had
over 50 more first place votes.
Exactly. And I think the voters intentionally don't give Bergeron that first place vote because of how many times he has won it. That's what I think. Because let me hear the defensive forward analytics.
Yeah, I have some stats that'll really annoy Joey. So expected goals against goes to Bergeron. Actual goals against goes to Barkov. Shots on goal against Bergeron. Unblocked shots against Bergeron. Total shots against Bergeron. Shorthanded defense GAR Bergeron. Even strength defense GAR Bergeron. Overall defense GAR Bergeron. So a lot of the advanced analytics state that, you know, Bergeron deserves to win it, but they, like you said, they gave it to Barkov.
Yeah, and you know, if the analytics are going to prove it, the eye test is going to prove it, and to me, the voting proves it that, you know, Bergeron's won it 4 times now, so we can't let him get the 5th. We can't let him set, you know, an NHL record of winning the Selke Trophy 5 times, so I don't know. Yeah.
And for those who don't know what GAR is, it's goals above replacement. So it's similar to WAR in baseball, where, like, if you were to replace Bergeron with a replacement level player, like a league average player, like, it's like a measurement of that.
Yeah.
And Bergeron was better than Barkov in shorthanded, even strength, and overall. So
literally every defensive forward stat you can look at, Bergeron was better, except I guess you said total goals against.
Yeah.
Which,
but the Panthers probably didn't give up as many goals as I would actually like to see the number on that for the team goals against between the Panthers and the Bruins.
I wonder if Barkov has as much of a penalty killing role as Patrice Bergeron.
I'm going to assume he does. I've argued with this. If our pal Frankie Mueller's in the chat and he's listening, I know he was going to tune in a little later. I would draft Barkov fifth in a redraft of the entire NHL.
I know you said that.
I stand by that with my whole heart. And obviously age comes into consideration with that. Like, you're not going to draft Crosby and Ovechkin to like redraft the league. Those guys would go a little later because of their age. Yeah, I think Barkov is that good because, and people who rip on me probably would have ripped on me in 2008 if I would have said the same thing about Bergeron. And if I said that in 2008 about Bergeron, I'd be sitting pretty here in 2021.
Yeah, I just think there's better players to make that claim, but the Selke he got robbed.
When Bergeron's done, Barkov will be in the mix just as much, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's his trophy to eventually win four times.
Yeah.
Once Bergeron is done. But like, I mean, this year was Bergeron's like best year since he won it, I think in 2014, or was the last year he won it or something like that.
Do you think they take competition into the mix this year?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know that.
Yeah, but for personal trophies like that, like you're just looking at...
Well, they only played the same eight teams.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't know.
The Central is probably a little better up top.
Yeah, I mean, the whatever we call
it. Teams.
Yeah, whatever we call this division, I forget.
East.
I mean, those bottom teams were bad.
Rangers, Devils, Flyers, and Sabres were not very good defensively. So that's it for that trophy. We got the Lady Bing. Lady Bing goes to the most gentlemanly player. That's Jacob Slavin. I saw something. It's very rare for a defenseman to win it. I can't remember the exact stat. It was only like the fourth defenseman since 2000 or something like that. Good on him, not committing penalties and being a gentlemanly player on a very good and competitive Canes team.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to, you know, really gauge this trophy because this is one, like, you kind of have to be watching the guy and you really can't, like, look at a stat book other than penalty minutes to see if they're, like, you know, a good human. This is kind of a good human trophy. And, you know, I guess when you don't hear something negative about a player, like, I've never heard anything negative about Jacob Slavin, and I actually know he's a very, very good defenseman. I would love to have him on my team, so... The fact that he, you know, plays the game the right way is, you know, credit to him.
Yeah, he's probably the best defenseman on the Canes, and they probably have the best defense core in the league. Mm-hmm. So if you're on a team like that and people say you're the best, I'm assuming it's right there.
Yeah, it's literally a coin flip, I believe, for him mm-hmm. and Dougie.
It's also one of those awards that there's not much to say other than, like, congrats, you don't commit a lot of penalties, you don't fight.
Yeah, congrats, Slavin, you don't play hard enough.
Yeah, totally. When you... On the flip side, we do know they play hard, and to be that clean while playing that hard at a position where, like, penalty minutes kind of happen by accident when you play defense. You're going to get a trip. You're going to cross-check someone after the puck is gone at one point or another. Like, you know, good on him for the discipline at that position.
Yeah.
The last one that we have announced is the GM of the Year, and that is going to one – I almost called him what Pierre calls him, Louis J. Amorello, even though his middle name does not start with J.
Oh, no, yeah, that's the only way I call him nowadays, Louis J. Lamorello.
Even though his middle name does not start with J. Pierre, we know you're watching. Stop calling him that. This is his second year in a row winning the trophy. So, you know, the Devils let him go. He went to the Leafs, built them up, then left them, then built the Islanders up. He's great at what he does.
And he went to the Leafs. Don't forget about the Leafs.
I said the Leafs.
I don't think you said the Leafs.
I literally just said the Leafs, and he built them up.
I think you left out the Leafs.
I know for a fact I didn't. I wish we could pull up the tape. I know.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
I'm pretty sure you definitely did not say the Leafs.
I know for a fact that I said the Leafs.
I don't know. Anyway,
And then he went to the Islanders.
You said Devils.
He was with the Devils. They let him go. Then he went to the Leafs. He built them up. Then he went to the Islanders.
Louis J. Lamoriello, I think, you know, I hate the Islanders. He kind of deserved it. Like, I don't know if they look at, like, how those guys are doing in the playoffs.
I think that gets voted for after the second round. It's one of the only trophies that's not only regular season.
Because, like, I mean, you look at the moves that they made, and we talked about how important they are. We looked at the Penguins getting Jeff Carter. He was good for them. The Bruins getting Taylor Hall. Like, those trade deadline acquisitions, every team that wins the cup always has significant ones that end up being impact players. And this year is no different with Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac.
And last year, I'm kind of considering J.G. Pageau. I know he played in the bubble and all that, but that was a trade deadline acquisition last year. And those three guys you named have been some of their best players.
Mm-hmm. And having the confidence in Ilya Sorokin. And getting Semyon Varlamov. Like, yeah.
When Robin Lehner left?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's deserving. Louis J. Lamoriello has just done a great job with this team.
Absolutely. So, there are a couple other awards to get to. We could start with the Norris Trophy. Let's predict them at this point and write them down, too.
All right. Yeah.
Who do you got?
For the Norris Trophy, I believe it is going to be Adam Fox of the New York Rangers.
And I couldn't agree more.
I would love to see Cale Makar win it. I think he'll have, you know, a good number of these on his shelf when he retires. But this year, Adam Fox was just, you know, breakout. We knew Cale Makar was awesome. We know Victor Hedman. It was, you know, isn't he the defending Norris winner?
Victor Hedman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this year, Adam Fox was next level breakout superstar, elite defenseman, and he deserves it more than anyone. So I'm going Adam Fox, and you agree? Yeah.
I would also vote for Adam Fox. Victor Hedman wouldn't even have been a nominee for me. I probably would have had him sixth or seventh, to be honest with you.
I would have rather see Charlie McAvoy.
McAvoy and Dougie Hamilton. The eye test community hates him, but the analytic community loves him. He had a great year for the Canes. I like to be in the middle of both. So I would vote for Adam Fox. Cale Makar would probably be three for me. I would have voted McAvoy number two. Because like I said, Slavin, he's the best defenseman on one of the best D-cores in the league. Mm-hmm. Same could be said for McAvoy. When the Bruins are healthy, they have a top five D. So, and McAvoy being the 23-year-old catalyst of it all, he'll probably be the captain after Bergeron, which is just kind of a side note. It's irrelevant to this conversation, but I don't know. I would vote for Fox.
I agree.
So next up is the Vezina Trophy.
This is where we disagree.
Oh, yeah. We're disagreeing for sure. What do you got?
Philip Grubauer of the Colorado Avalanche. Hands down, I believe he had the best season out of these three. Andre Vasilevsky, he was nominated last year. Connor Hellebuck won it last year, correct?
I believe so.
I'm going to pull up all three of their guys' stats right now really quick. Who do you think is going to win?
Yeah, I would vote for Marc-Andre Fleury. Marc-Andre Fleury is one of the only elite goalies of the last 20 years that does not have one. And I think it's time for him to get one. His Vegas Golden Knights were awesome. Robin Leonard dealt with some stuff this season in terms of injury and missing games. And Marc-Andre Fleury, to the delight of many, because he's just a wonderful human being, he was awesome. And he got the Vegas Golden Knights into the playoffs. He's a big part of the reason why they are where they are right now. And I totally think I would vote for him.
Yeah, so we got the top three goalies in wins this season were Vasilevsky, Grubauer, and Fleury in that order. You know, wins, you could look at wins however you want, but I mean, those are your top three and those are the top three nominees. Goals against average, Vasilevsky kind of led the way by a decent amount, 2.21. Grubauer had a 1.95 and Fleury had a 1.98. Fleury played the least amount of games out of those three people. He had 36. You know, we saw him split time a lot with Robin Leonard. Philip Grubauer and Andrei Vasilevsky in 56 games played, both had 40 games played, and Vasilevsky had an extra two. He had 42 games played. And the save percentage is all around the same. Fleury actually led the save percentage 928. Grubauer had a 922, and Vasilevsky had a 925. I think in order for me, it's going to go Grubauer, Fleury, Vasilevsky, and I'm sure you're going to have it go Fleury first. And who do you have second? Grubauer?
I would go Grubauer second.
Yeah, I think Vasilevsky has the least best chance to win it.
And he's probably the best of the three. It's funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't go to the best. It goes to the best this year.
Yeah, but I mean, Grubauer also had 7 shutouts this year.
Didn't Fleury have 8?
Fleury had 6. So, I mean, that's a good season, too.
Yeah.
I mean, all 3 goalies. This is one of the closer years for the Vezina. I'll admit it. But yeah. Grubauer, I mean, look at the Colorado Avalanche. They won the President's Trophy over Vegas. He had more of a workload than Marc-Andre Fleury. I'm giving it to Philip Grubauer this year.
Wouldn't you give a reason why the workload doesn't matter if Tuukka Rask was nominated?
If, what do you mean?
I feel like you wouldn't care about that.
Oh, you're saying because of the workload, like if Halak got a lot of games and the workload wasn't as big for Tuukka?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's Tuukka.
Yeah, so he would deserve it.
No, but I'm also saying like Tuukka Rask actually had a great year himself.
Yeah, no, he'll get votes.
He had a 228, which is like right above Vasilevsky's number. He had just as good of a save percentage, but I think his workload was just a little too small.
Yeah.
There's got to be a fine balance, and
it's I'm okay part of the 56 game season in 3 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Rask might come in fourth. We'll see. But next is going to be the Ted Lindsay Award, which is kind of a hard award to describe. It's like the MVP, but it's not. It's like, who's the best player? The MVP is the most valuable to his team. The Ted Lindsay Award's the best player. And I think we are going to agree on this one, that it should be Connor McDavid.
Yeah. I really don't see how anyone can, you know, say anything different. He's the best player in the National Hockey League, and it's without question. Anyone who's going to say it's still Crosby just hasn't, you know, had the privilege to watch Connor McDavid do the things that we've seen him do. And when you're talking just best player, no matter what, it's Connor McDavid. He's the best hockey player in the entire world. So
you can argue that he's the best player ever in terms of skill. Exactly. I have never seen a player like that before. Like, it's just unbelievable what he does on a day-in, day-out basis. He had 105 points in 56 games. The second leading scorer was in the 70s, and it was a guy who played on the power play with him a lot. Third was Brad Marchand. I think he had a nice 69 points, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So it's McDavid. He's the best player in the world. He should win the Ted Lindsay Award for the foreseeable future, because even if someone comes along that's more deserving of the Hart Trophy because they, like, led their team to the playoffs, McDavid should probably still win the Hart in any given season. Don't you agree?
I agree completely.
But this year, with the Hart Trophy, we're probably going to pick the exact same guy. The Hart Trophy nominees are Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and Nathan MacKinnon. Do you think McDavid wins it?
I do. I think, you know, all three of these guys are magnificent in their own ways. Austin Matthews has a claim with his, you know, goal scoring, because his goal scoring this year was just as impressive as McDavid's point scoring.
Yep.
I think he has a better claim, you know, to push for the Hart over anyone does the Ted Lindsay. But I still think, you know, if you're looking at the MVP of your team, Connor McDavid is the guy. Like, you can make arguments for all three of them, but this year, with the way things went down, with 104 points in 56 games, Connor McDavid is your league MVP.
Yeah, I think there's more of a chance. Like, the gap will be smaller in this award, mm-hmm, because Matthews and MacKinnon, their teams probably wouldn't be where they are without them.
So you're going McDavid too?
I would have had Sid third, and I would have had Marchand fourth, and MacKinnon fifth. Nate wasn't even his team's leading scorer. So, and if I remember correctly, Matthews might have not even been his team's leading scorer.
Yeah, but if Matthews gets votes.
He had goals, though.
He had 40. How many goals did he have?
Like, I think it was 40. And, like, that's a really good 82-game season.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between him and MacKinnon in terms of not being the team's leading scorer. I would have had Marchand and Crosby ahead of MacKinnon just this year. Personally, that's just my personal opinion. That would have been my top five in that order. But I am going to give it to McDavid.
Yeah, I agree completely.
I mean, the Winnipeg Jets shut him down and then they swept him. So it goes to show how important his success is to that team.
Mm-hmm. And it's just such a cool graphic seeing for your Hart Trophy, like your league MVP.
Oh, we turned the stick here.
Seeing the three young and up and coming, like, you know, catalyst for their organizations. Yeah, it's just cool to see. Like, all these guys are literally our age or younger.
Yeah, those are the three that would be the top three in my redraft that I talked about with Barkov. Those would be my top three. Barkov would be fifth, and David Pastrnak would be fourth. So, Pastrnak's not going to be in the Hart Trophy conversation this year. I just think his goal scoring slump was a little too much to overcome this year, but he'll be in that conversation going forward.
Oh, definitely.
So that's it for – oh, I do have one more award. It's the Calder Trophy. Mm-hmm. This one's easy. We know them in order. It's going to be Kirill Kaprizov, Jason Robertson, and Alex Nedeljkovic in that order. There's really not much to talk about. Kirill Kaprizov, some people don't like it because he was an older rookie because he spent so much time in the KHL, which is probably the second-best pro league in the world. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean – I believe that this kid brought the Minnesota Wild to where they were. Without him, you know, he was their MVP. Even we talk about, you know, your MVP and Hearts and your team's MVP. It was the rookie Kirill Kaprizov for the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah, he'll probably be on the Hart Trophy ballot. His name will appear there. Someone has probably tossed him a fourth or fifth place vote, I would bet.
Yeah, because I believe if it wasn't a breakout year for him, the Minnesota Wild would not have even had that privilege to give us a seven-game series against the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah.
Joel Eriksson Ek was very good. He came in fourth for the Selke. Not a lot of people realize that. But, I mean, I get what you're saying about Kaprizov. He's unbelievable. I can't wait to watch more next season. I hear there's a little bit of a contract issue, and he's threatening to stay in the KHL again. But, I mean, it could just be a tactic.
Yeah, I don't know. Sick number too, number 97.
Oh, yeah. All these kids that were born in 97, they wear that number.
I was born in 97. I think that number stinks.
Yeah, well, you just said it was sweet. Like, pick one.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
That's it for our awards. One more piece of NHL news. Gerard Gallant hired by the New York Rangers. Who cares?
I my brain's in a blender because I said it's a sick number and then you told me.
Yeah, you're a clown. The audience knows you're a clown though. They knew who to listen to on this show.
Yeah. I think it's a sick number, but I would never pick it.
Talk about Gerard Gallant being hired by the New York Rangers.
You, like you said, who cares? I mean, the Rangers, like, yeah, we'll see how they are. They're either gonna be like, they're probably going to be shitty and then good toward the end again, but not good enough. That's exactly what the New York Rangers are going to do. They're going to be very shitty to start the year. Everyone's going to say Lafreniere stinks. Capo Caco stinks. Who's their goalie anyway? And then Adam Fox is going to be sick all year. But then they're finally going to start figuring it out. Mika Zibanejad is going to randomly pull, you know, five goal games out of his ass cheeks again against Philadelphia. And they're going to miss the playoffs by like 2 points. So there's the New York Rangers in a nutshell. Gerard Gallant's going to lead the way instead of David Quinn.
I need that entire Rangers rant clipped.
Yeah.
I need it with a 109 of the show. Got it. That's easy for me to remember because it's number 9. 109. I'll clip it if I have to.
All right.
Deal. Need that rant. My New Jersey Devils Twitter will eat that up.
Do it.
Screw the New York Rangers. We hope they do awful things. And I'm just kidding. He's a good coach.
He is a good coach. He got you know, the shit end of the bargain in Vegas. I think he
always does, though. So it makes me wonder, why does this guy keep randomly getting fired midseason? And everyone talks about how great of a coach he is.
He was great in Florida. Florida was a good team. It's not like Joel Quenneville turned the organization around. Gerard Gallant was awesome in Florida.
He might have not turned the organization around. He could have turned a lot of the players around, though.
Yeah. But Barkov, I think, was just as good under Gallant.
Yeah.
I mean,
Barkov and Huber are superstars.
Yeah.
So it's getting Eric stuff. Ekblad. Yeah, it's getting stuff out of those guys, like the depth guys, that I think really helps. And his decision making with the goaltending in the playoffs wasn't great, but
I mean, yeah, look at who would have thought they'd get like 20 goals last year from Nolo Chari.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that goes to Quenneville for me.
Yeah, I was gonna say that could be like a Quenneville thing.
Absolutely. So you want to talk about playoffs?
Playoffs.
Let's send it over to period number 3. The way you like put your hand down right there made it look like you're the one who put up that period number 3 graphic.
I am.
You're trying to steal Aldo's thunder? Like, what the I said, let's go to period number 3. Joey goes,
all right. I think you deserve a penalty, hands free.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting.
You just did it. You put your hands down right when it came up, you clown.
No, I did it. You put my hands up, so I was putting them down. What goes up must
come. Before we talk about the playoffs, this might be like the worst officiated playoffs season.
Oh, fucking, the officiating sucks every year.
They need to figure it out. I feel bad for Vegas. I thought it was just Boston.
It was fucking all
Or Montreal. I feel bad for Montreal because
they're winning the series. They're a game away from the Stanley Cup final.
It's making me hard to root against Montreal, which I fucking hate Montreal. So,
yeah, go ahead. Talk about Barzal, your boy.
Yeah.
The Bruins had 3 draft picks in 2015, didn't take Barzal in either of the 3.
Yeah, because we don't like dirty players. He was fined $5,000 Tuesday, which is the maximum allowable under the collective bargaining agreement, for a cross-checking penalty on Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman John Ruda in Game 5 Monday night. He will pay tonight. John Ruda. Well, listen, I'd ask Pierre, not you. He will play tonight. Barry Trotz was not happy with him. But it was in a game where did anyone really show up? Like, who cares? How are you going to be mad at Barzal? Like, they got shit on 8-0 in that game.
Probably would hit someone in the face too, personally.
Exactly. You had no chance to win the game.
I don't want to hit you in the face right now. And I'm not even like,
Barzal's going to pay with that with, you know, he'll break open a piggy bank and pull out $5,000 and pay for that. He doesn't care. The Islanders, you know, say what you want, 18 mil over the cap or whatever. They gave up a good fight. Even if they win, like, Tampa Bay is going to figure it out. There's no way Tampa loses the next 2. Expect another Stanley Cup appearance for the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know I told myself last week I would stop predicting shit because I'm always wrong. The Islanders are done. You don't come back from an 8-0 loss and win 2 straight against that team. So
there's absolutely no fucking difference between an 8-0 loss and a 1-0 loss. None. I'm not saying I'm picking the Islanders, but I don't think that is even slightly the reason.
I disagree. If
best defensive team in the last 5 years.
If the Lightning would have won in triple overtime in a 3-2 game, there'd be a little different, more confidence.
I'd much rather get slaughtered than play a 6-hour game.
No way.
Play a 6-hour game and lose.
The head of Steven Stamkos right now, after the game he played in an 8-0 win.
Well, who got the absolute balls on Braden Point, who has goals in 8 straight games?
Exactly. The confidence there. Vasilevskiy having a shutout. Like, it's a goalie is a mental thing. Like, you know, you're warm, you're hot, you're a goalie, you feel like you can stop anything right now. And he just played an entire game where his team gave him 8 goals and he didn't give up a single goal. I'd much rather be in that position than coming off of a close game where the Islanders had a chance to win. The Islanders did not have a single chance to win since that they scored their first goal in Game 5. So
you just hate
the Islanders are toast. Close down fucking Nassau Coliseum. Start building.
I think the Islanders are going to win tonight, and then Tampa's going to win Game 7, personally. The Sox are on the TV right now, and Luis Gonzalez just slid into the wall. He's fine, but, like, dude, you're, like, their ninth outfielder and you're sliding into a wall. Like, you think someone would be telling them, protect yourself. But it looks like Tim Anderson just ended the game, so Sox win. There's your baseball update for the day. Make sure you tune in to Crosstown Crosstalk tomorrow. Back to the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, I've said enough. Congrats to Luis J. Lamoriello, but he's got a lot of work to do to try to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they win tonight and then we're treated to a Game 7. Personally, I would love a Game 7 to go to the Stanley Cup Final. Do you know that there has never in the history of the sport been a Stanley Cup Final Game 7 overtime?
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's like,
especially like so much on the line.
Imagine like, that next goal like, wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, like it's
for either team. Like we've seen it in overtime, but
it's surprising because like you know these are the best two teams in the league. They've proved it by playing three and winning three grueling playoff series. The fact that it's never gone to overtime in that Game 7, and we've seen a few Game 7s, like the two – or Boston in Game 7 against St. Louis.
Yep.
The Blues took care of business. You'd think it'd be a closer game. The Bruins won in Game 7 in 11, and they won 4-0 in that game. So wouldn't that be something?
The Bruins were really close to getting to Game 7 in 2013. I'm trying to think of other ones. The Devils lost to the Kings in six. The
Rangers, yeah, I think it's just the Boston, the two Boston.
One win, one loss.
One win, one loss. And then, yeah, if it wasn't for that fluke in 13, it would definitely be Game 7 in Chicago.
You're right. So we'll see if the Tampa Bay Lightning are able to advance to the Stanley Cup Final. That game is tonight. Or can the Islanders force a Game 7? Back at Amalie Arena in Tampa. The Montreal Canadiens versus the Vegas Golden Knights. Probably the more surprising series so far. It's kind of surprising Montreal's even here. They were down 3-1 to the Leafs in the first round. And now they are one game away from the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep. Great show. I don't know. I'm so, like, just indifferent because I'm not – I really never root for Vegas. Like, you know where I stand on Vegas being good. It's kind of annoying. And you know where I stand on Montreal. So, like, this is not part of the plan. They were never supposed to, like, make it to the Cup before the Bruins, let alone win the Cup. It's hard for me to root against Corey Perry and Carey Price. I'll admit that.
And Eric Staal.
Those scumbag Montreal fans.
Shea Weber.
Yeah, I like Shea Weber too. But those Montreal fans, like, booing Max Pacioretty is just – I like Max Pacioretty too. I know you don't like him, but I don't know. Montreal is just – it's hard a series for me to, like, watch and just root either way. Like, I literally want the Lightning to win so bad, which they're going to. It's the Pat Maroon curse.
You want them to win the Cup.
The Tampa Bay Lightning?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, really badly. Like,
I kind of want them to beat the Islanders because then no matter what the final is, I think it would be entertaining. I think Tampa, Montreal, or Tampa, Vegas would be some great hockey. The Islanders, they're great. And I know they're like an old school franchise, and Islanders, Montreal would be like a cool final in terms of nostalgia. But, I mean, they can make a game be very boring.
Yeah. I agree with that, but I don't know. It's also crazy. Like I mentioned Pat Maroon just then. He wins it in 19 with St. Louis. He signs a one-year deal in Tampa, wins the Cup. Then he signs out another – like everyone's talking like, oh, Pat Maroon, he's won two straight Stanley Cups. He's one win away from going to his third straight. And he signed
– Mosa shit.
He signed a one-year deal last year. And I remember thinking to myself when he signed a one-year deal, I'm like, this dude is team hopping and winning the Stanley Cup, and he just signs with the same team. Like, you got to keep your luck going and go to another team. Sure as shit, look at him now. He's about to, like, we're going to get another repeat if the Lightning win, and he'll be on both of those teams. So keep your eye on where Pat Maroon signs if the Lightning win the Cup.
Do you know the last team he played for that didn't win the Cup?
Yeah, it's on your sweater.
This team is ruining my life, man.
Don't they call him the Big Rig?
Such a stupid nickname.
Yeah. Anyway,
called the Big Rig. Those people don't actually like you.
Back to Montreal. One, I said his name already. Corey Perry. I fucking love Corey Perry.
I have a Corey Perry duck shirt.
Yeah, I love Corey Perry. It's hard. Montreal is Montreal. They'll always be Montreal to me. I haven't seen Montreal play my team. I haven't seen that rivalry in over a year now. So I'm never going to say I'm.
You hate at least three more teams more than Montreal in sports.
In sports, yeah.
You hate the Yankees more.
Probably.
I think you hate the Cubs more.
But there's a recency thing. No, I don't hate the Cubs. That you got to get that out of your head, because if anything, over the past year or so, I've grown to really like the Cubs.
Yeah, but like, you would never root for them.
No, I wouldn't root for them, but I like the players.
You like them. I like the players too.
I like the players. I like the atmosphere.
Kyle Hendricks has finally started being good on my fantasy team, but no one
cares. Yeah, so is Zach Davies for me. No one cares about fantasy though. But right. That's credit to us on that.
You hate the Leafs more than Montreal too. You just won't admit it. Montreal. One day you'll admit it. One day you'll admit it. You think it's funny that the Leafs choke year after year.
Until
Montreal choked, you wouldn't care. You'd be like, hell yeah, they lost. The Leafs, you will make those videos in the summer that you make with the song playing with your little cup and it says fuck the Leafs on the bottom. I never seen you make a fuck the Habs video. Get out of here.
But here's the funny thing. You could say what you want right now. I'm enjoying Corey Perry. I love Carey Price. I've always loved Carey Price.
I mean, if you don't like Carey Price, you don't really like hockey, because he's like this generation's Brodeur. Wow. Like, we've had Lundqvist, Rask, Quick, and Price. Like, those are the guys for this generation.
Whether he's playing against the Bruins or not, I've always loved Carey Price. And I haven't seen this new core of players like piss me off yet. So I have really no reason, other than the fact that they're the Montreal Canadiens, other than to, you know, I guess just watch. And if they beat Vegas, they beat Vegas. If they beat Tampa, they beat Tampa. If they beat the Islanders, they beat the Islanders. Like, I'm not going to be happy, but I'm not going to be mad. But I guarantee you, next year, that first Bruins-Canadiens game, I'm going to forget about everything I just said and go back to hating their guts.
I agree with that.
Cole Caulfield is all of a sudden going to – What?
They've only pissed you off once in your Bruins fandom. You're a young guy. Like, I'm pretty sure it's not hard for the audience to.
No, they pissed me off.
You weren't there in 1970 when Bobby Orr was taking the train to play the Canadiens. Like, that's not what the fucking it is for you. It's just not. Like, older Bruins fans hate the Habs more than you. You hate the Leafs more. You've seen them play in the playoffs against each other three or four times now, and you think it's funny that the Leafs continuously year after year choke. That's a joke that's as old as time. The internet is younger than the Leafs choking in the playoffs. Like, I honestly think that's just part of your brand. And I believe you can grow to hate the Habs more, especially in the future as Suzuki and Caulfield and Kasperi Kekkonen come up and be sweet. But I don't know. I personally don't hate a younger Bruins fan cheering on the Habs right now.
I don't know. I've always loved Tyler Toffoli on the Kings. I wanted them to – and on Vancouver.
That 70s line?
What?
Remember that 70s line?
Yeah, and then he went into Vancouver, and I still like them. And I really wanted him to go to Boston when he went to Vancouver.
COVID might have had a bit to do with that.
Yeah.
He stayed in the country.
Yeah. And Shea Weber. Like, I do like a lot of the players on the Canadiens.
Does it disappoint you a little bit that if COVID didn't exist, Chara would have chosen the Habs instead of the Capitals, and now he probably would have a chance at another cup?
Everything happens for a reason. Fair. That might be the reason COVID happened.
Before you get us canceled, chill, bro. With that shit.
Zdeno Chara, I don't think he would have went to the Canadiens.
Fleury or Leonard?
Okay, yeah. I'm just going to do – I really don't have much of a goalie talk right now, so this is going to be it.
I didn't include it because I knew we'd be talking about the Vezina Trophy.
Yeah.
The only active goalie conversation in the playoffs left is Leonard versus
– Yeah, so consider this our goalie talk. I think they are – you know, Pete DeBoer is crazy for starting Leonard. but it worked. I loved it. He won, and he starts Fleury in game five, and look what happens. Montreal's up 3-2. If he doesn't start Fleury in game six, Montreal goes to the cup.
Can I get the weed graphic?
Do you think he should start Fleury?
Yes.
No. How do you think?
No, I would probably go back to Leonard now.
Yes, that's
smoke weed every day.
That's what I'm saying. You start Leonard. So how do I get to smoke weed? You need to stop smoking weed.
Bro, you said it was a dumb idea for him to start Leonard this other time.
It was, but it worked.
And then it wasn't a dumb idea.
It was a dumb idea that worked.
Peter DeBoer came out and put his big old balls on the table and said, Leonard, you're in, pal.
Yeah, and then what happened?
Goalies. They're both good goalies.
And then what happened? Someone opened the doors, big old ball shriveled up, and he started Fleury in game six. And look, 4-1 final, or game five.
No, that wasn't really Fleury's fault, though.
It doesn't matter. You think the game would have played out the
exact same? You should have stuck with Leonard.
Yes, he just won a game after after Fleury wasn't necessarily that great.
So you would for sure start Leonard?
Yes, I think he's a dummy for starting Fleury in game five. Like, how do you put your balls on the table like that and start Robin Leonard and then put your balls away and go back to Fleury after Leonard just gave you a win?
I think it's a second ballsy move in a row.
Well, guys, 5 minutes each for fighting!
Okay, if one of the ballsy moves works and then the second one doesn't work, you just discredited your one that worked.
I guess. He's going to start Leonard in the next game.
Exactly. And if he starts,
we're not going to know until warm-ups tomorrow night. You could tune in. You know, Crosstown Crosstalk will be over at that point. I don't know.
If he starts Robin Leonard in game six and Vegas wins on Montreal.
That was going to be my next question.
If Peter DeBoer starts Marc-Andre Fleury for game seven, he never deserves to coach in the National Hockey League ever again. That would be the biggest tweak. That would be the biggest tweak.
Wow. What a claim. Our guy. Our guy. He's a us guy. We have a couple us guys.
Fleury.
I know for a fact he's an us guy. We have a couple guys like.
I'm not saying you don't start. I'm not saying if they beat the Habs, then game one against the Lightning or Islanders, you start whoever you're most comfortable with going into it. Maybe it's Fleury. See how he does. But you just won game five with Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard and Marc-Andre Fleury get along great. They don't give a fuck who he decides to start. I know that for a fact. You know, during warm-ups, I believe Fleury was yelling, or Leonard was yelling to Fleury to have Fleury get off first.
Now, what if you know you have two elite goalies and you just flip and it doesn't matter? Because look at what happened in game one of the Colorado series. He starts Leonard, they get dicked, and then fucking Vegas comes all the way back and wins the series with Fleury in every game. Whatever Pete DeBoer is doing, he believes in it. And I kind of respect him for just sticking to his guns, win or lose. He's been in the conference finals as a coach with three different teams like nine times in the last.
Stick with your guns so much. You can't just keep flipping. He went with his gut, started Leonard against Colorado. It didn't work. Did Robin Leonard ever see another minute of that series?
No.
Okay.
Every time.
You go down 2-1 to Montreal. You start Robin Leonard. You put your balls on the table again. You give him another chance, and he wins. Why do you have a reason to revert back to Fleury?
So you'd go Leonard.
I would have went Leonard in game five, and who knows?
That's over. Leonard.
Yes.
All right.
It didn't work the first half of the series with Fleury. Let fucking Leonard play the second half, because Leonard just gave you a win to tie the series up, and now look. Montreal won. I'm not saying Montreal wouldn't have won. I'm not saying that if Leonard started, it'd be 3-2 Vegas, but you never know. How are you going to not go with the guy who just gave you a winning game four to tie the series up?
Yeah, I can't say I disagree.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's it.
It's the most interesting goalie talk we've had in a while, because like, I don't know what Peter DeBoer is doing. He has two great goalies in front of him, and I think he's just fucking with confidence with the way he's handling it.
Yeah, you also don't know what goes on behind closed doors,
though. No, you don't. I
do know yesterday, Fleury joked about leaving the ice early during.
That's what I was saying.
They're obviously real lighthearted about it. And I know Robin Leonard's a good dude and Fleury's a great dude. So,
Yeah, they're 100% of it, or internally, I believe they're on the same page. But I mean, I don't agree with the page that they're on of the Boers decision to not start Robin Leonard in game five.
That's fair. So Tampa Bay, Montreal is your prediction? Or do you think Vegas is going to come back? By next Wednesday, when we do our next show, the Stanley Cup final should be a game or two in, I would think.
Oops. Tampa Bay, and I think game seven, Montreal, Vegas, it's a coin flip.
We'll make a video when the Stanley Cup finals announced for our loyal Bar Down listeners.
I think Vegas is going to force game seven. So I don't know. I can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, this was a great show. I think we nailed it right on the head pretty much throughout all. We did our awards, some great Black Hawks, Jack Eichel talk early on in the show. Make sure if you're just tuning in to go back and listen to that. The playoffs, man, they're fun right now. Hop in. If you're not here, hop in.
Yeah.
Preview Crosstown Crosstalk. I do it all the time.
Yeah, Crosstown Crosstalk tomorrow, 2 p.m. Every Thursday you can find us. We talk White Sox, we talk Cubs, and we talk the MLB. There's a lot of fun stuff going on in the MLB right now. We got Vinny sporting his Miami Marlins hat. Just saw them in town. So we'll be talking about that tomorrow, 2 p.m.
Part of me, just to tease the audience a little bit, believes that the first active player that will ever be a guest on our show, Crosstown Crosstalk, plays for the Miami Marlins right now. We'll let you speculate who you think it is.
Yeah.
You know, and we should have a good conversation tomorrow. I can't wait.
More story with the sticky stuff. No one's using it, but that's the story. No one's using it.
Yeah, it's more about that now. So first was it's going to happen. So next it was it is happening. Now it's like it's not happening. So it should be good stuff. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you follow at Joey Parisi on Twitter, at Vinny Parisi on Twitter. Read the blogs. And
before we send it off, how do you make a tissue dance?
Gee, I don't know.
You put a little boogie in it.